So this is for act of oblation. Okay, we go back a little bit from last week. Jesus host, whom I have this very moment received into my heart, through this union with you, I offer myself to the Heavenly Father as a sacrificial host, abandoning myself totally and completely to the most merciful and holy will of my God. In Jesus' offer to God the Father. From today onward, your will, Lord, is my food. Take my whole being. Dispose of me as you please. Whatever your fatherly hand gives me, I will accept with submission, peace, and joy. Also important to receive the will of God with peace and joy. Many times we are sad and all. I fear nothing, no matter in what direction you lead me. Help me by your grace. I will carry out everything you demand of me. Should for each one of us, you know, lonely the convent, you can follow this direction. I no longer fear any of your inspirations, nor I probe anxiously to see where they will lead me. So there are so many inspirations for her, you don't, and many things blocking the way. So she is not sure whatever will be in future. I have placed all my trust in your will, which is for me love and mercy itself. Still we trust, even though it's no way out, still it's from the love of God. Just only trust. This is for sinners the main theme. Bid me to stay in this convent, I will stay. Bid me to undertake the work, I will undertake it, because she still has the idea to start a new congregation. But so far, no possibility. So she said, either way, I'm pleased. Leave me in uncertainty about the work until I die, be blessed. Give me death when, humanly speaking, my life seems particularly necessary. Be blessed, whatever. If you ask me to come, die today, just happy. Should you take me in my youth, be blessed. Should you let me live in the right old age, be blessed. She died at the age of 33. She's young. No matter 63 or 33, she said, yes, and peace. Should you give me health and strength, be blessed. Should you continue, confine me to a bed of pain or for my whole life, be blessed. She was that moment, no? She was in sanatorium. She got tuberculosis and she had to rest most of the time. Should you give me only failures and disappointments in life? Be blessed. Whatever. Should you allow my purest intention to be condemned? Be blessed. Many times you do a good intention and people condemn you. Maybe the superior doesn't agree with you. It's hard. Especially, for example, when your kid, whatever you do, your parents say no. Always no. Should you enlighten my mind? Be blessed. Should you leave me in darkness and all kinds of torments? Be blessed. And she experienced periodically clear, everything is so true, so sure. For certain moment, complete darkness. It happened, no? Last 2 weeks, it's completely darkness. Terrible. Just 1 minute without the light, layered in hell. Jesus is always present. You feel so peaceful, and suddenly there's no lights at all. But Jesus told her once, the time when you don't feel my presence, I'm more present to you. But this is really our faith. From this moment on, I live in the deepest peace, because the Lord himself is carrying me in the hollow of his hand. He, Lord of unfathomable mercy, knows that I desire him alone in all things, always and everywhere. Prayer, O Jesus, stretched out upon the cross, I implore you, give me the grace of doing faithfully the most holy will of your Father, in all things, always and everywhere. Yeah, this is important to remind us, but sometimes, no? We say our yes, sometimes, perhaps, but it's unconditionally. And when this will of God will seem to me very harsh and difficult to fulfill, it is then I beg you, Jesus, may power and strength flow upon me from your wounds, and may my lips keep repeating, your will be done, O Lord. Jesus repeating the same words on the cross. Even he experienced the darkest experience of hell. God, God, why have you forsaken me? Still, that's Jesus. O Savior of the world, lover of man's salvation, who in such terrible torment and pain forget yourself to think only of the salvation of souls. O most compassionate Jesus, grant me the grace to forget myself, that I may live totally for souls. Helping you in the work of salvation according to the most holy will of your Father. Nothing else but the will of God the Father. August 5th, 1937. The Lord let me know how much our dear Mother Superior Irene is defending me against, not only by prayer, but also by deed. Thank you, Jesus, for this grace. I will not go unrequited in my heart. When I am with Jesus, I do not forget about her. Mother Irene, her superior. It's very important for his world religious to have trust by the superior, you know. Otherwise, it's a will forsaken. If the superior doesn't trust his people, terrible, no? Everything doubts, whatever you think. It's a hell, right, sister? So we need to have the trust both, on both ways. September 6, 1937. Today, I begin a new assignment. I go from the garden to the desert of the gate. To say the gate is the desert. Because the garden, she can pray, she can rest with fresh air, with butterfly. But at the gate, you don't know who is coming, lock at the door. It happens sometimes. Some rascal come and asking so many things and praying and then shouting. And once the other sister couldn't do anything, they asked her to come out to the gate and console the man. And she's the one who should come. And I go from the garden to the desert gates. I went in to talk to the Lord for a while. I ask him for a blessing and for graces to faithfully carry out the duties entrusted to me. I heard these words. My daughter, I'm always with you. I have given you the opportunity to practice deeds of mercy which you will perform according to obedience. You will give me much pleasure if each evening you will speak to me especially about the test. I felt that Jesus had given me a little grace in relation to my new duties. But despite this, I've locked myself deeper in his heart. Today, I felt more you, but Jesus has given me many more opportunities on this day to practice virtue. It is so happened that I was busier than usual, and the sister in charge of the kitchen made it clear to me how irritated she was that I had come late for dinner. Although it was quite impossible for me to have come sooner, even 1 minute later, the sister in the kitchen shouted at her, "Why you come late?" She said, but she cannot come early because she look at the door, no? She cannot just come 5 minutes early and then go to the dining room, you see, and criticize. Even one minute. Oh, I decided to say this 1 minute. At any rate, I felt so unwell that I had to ask Mother Superior to allow me to lie down. I went to ask Sister Anne to take my place, and again, I got a scolding. "What is this, Sister? You're so exhausted that you are going back to bed again?" "Confound you with all this lying in bed." I put up with all that, but that wasn't the end. I still had to ask the sister who was in charge of the sick to bring me my meal. Even you go to the bed, nobody bring them your lunch or dinner. "Mom, Mamma Mia." When I told her this, she burst out of the chapel into the corridor after me to give me a piece of her mind. "Why on earth are you going to bed, Sister Faustina?" I asked her not to bother bringing me anything. I'm writing all this very briefly because it is not my intention to write about such things, and I'm doing so merely to dissuade souls from treating others in this way, for this is displeasing to the Lord. She writes not to me for, she is not for our consolation, but just let those people work in the kitchen, don't shout at people, and why you did this? She writes this only for the future, future sisters. In a suffering soul, we should see Jesus crucified, and not a loafer or burden on the community. A soul who suffers with submission to the will of God draws down more blessing on the whole common than all the working sisters. She's the one who suffers, not only her sickness, but also people scolding, despising, kicking, punching, all these things is for the benefit of the community. Poor, indeed, is a convent where there are no sick sisters. So, someone sick is healthy for the community because they are the one who pay for the sanity of the whole community. God often grants many and great graces out of regard for the souls who are suffering. So, and he withholds many punishments solely because of the suffering souls. So many times when you suffer, well, maybe God asks you to offer it for your family members in the Philippines. You don't know what they're doing. They might, you might pay the price. So you don't know what happened. That we live in this one family zone in Hong Kong, not only your house. This family is all connected. Oh my Jesus, when shall we look upon souls with higher motives in mind? When will our judgments be true. You give us occasion to practice deeds of mercy. And instead, we use the occasion to pass judgment in order to know whether the love of God flourishes in the convent. One must ask how they treat the sick, the disabled, and the infirm who are there. You treat them well, feed them well, keep them clean, everything. This place is a healthy place. If the sick people are left alone by itself, by herself, by himself. September 10, 1937, I learned in the course of meditation that the purer the heart, the soul, the greater her communion with God on a spiritual level. She pays little heed to the senses and the protests. God is a spirit, and so I love him in spirit and in truth. When I heard how dangerous it was to be at the gates these days, because of revolutionary disturbances and how many evil people have a hatred for convent, I went in and had a talk with the Lord and asked him to so arrange it that no evil person would dare come to the gates. Let the guardian angel stand outside and kick them out first. Otherwise. Then I heard these words: "My daughter, the moment you went to the gates, I set a cherub, that's an angel, over it to guard it. Be at peace." The angel, great angel, cherub is the great angel. After returning from my conversation with the Lord, I saw a little white cloud, and in it a cherub with his hands joined. His gaze was like lightning, and I understood how the five gods now burns in that look. So she got an angel protecting the gates. September 14, 1937. Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Today I saw what great opposition this priest, Professor Sobukwe, is experiencing in regard to this whole matter. Even devout souls who are zealous for God's glory are opposing him. That he is not discouraged by all this is due to a special grace of God. When you do bad things, people against you, it's normal. But when you do good things and people against you, you can imagine. And you can explain. Even the good priests, holy priests, against what Father Sopo is doing, you can imagine. Look where you go, all blocks. No communion. Jesus says, "My daughter, do not think you have written enough about my mercy. Do you think you have written enough about my mercy? What you have written is but a drop compared to the ocean. What you have written is but a drop compared to the ocean. I am love and mercy itself. There is no misery that could be matched for my mercy. Neither will misery exhaust it. Because as it is being granted, it increases. So all the graces in you is increasing. God's grace is interesting. Like the seed into the plant is growing. The grace of God, when you accept it, live it, is growing. If you stop it, die. But you grow, growing. That's beautiful. Neither will misery exhaust it, because as it is being granted, it increases. So the trust in my mercy is most fortunate, because I myself take care of it. You trust in the divine mercy, he will look after you. Just trust. Just do the will of God according to your position here and now. And God look after you. When you stay in the chapel, Don't think things, the things in the house, what you haven't done. This moment, just one heart, one mind, complete before the Lord, and trust everything. Cut off, not your head, cut off everything outside the door. And just be pure, pure, pure intention to be with the Lord. And He just promised, He, my daughter, do not think you have written enough about my mercy. You, what you have written is about a drop compared to the ocean. I am love and mercy itself. There is no mystery that could be matched for my mercy. Neither will mystery exhaust it, because it is being granted, it increases. The soul that trusts my mercy is most fortunate, because I myself take care of it. We are so fortunate to know divine mercy. Next 2 weeks, next 3 weeks, we will celebrate the divine mercy. And God, Jesus promised, well, we'll look at the picture and all the graces will come. This picture, divine mercy. I experience quick torments of soul when I see God offended. Today, I recognized that mortal sins were being committed not far from our door. It was evening. I prayed earnestly in the chapel, and then I went to scourge myself. When I knelt down to prayer, however, the Lord allowed me to experience how a soul rejected by God suffers. It seems to me that my heart was torn to pieces, and at the same time, I understood how much such a soul wounds the most merciful heart of Jesus. The poor creature does not want to accept God's mercy. The more God has pursued the soul with His mercy, the more just will He be towards it. My secretary, the word of Jesus, write that. I am more generous towards sinners than towards the just. It was for their sake that I came down from heaven, for sinners. It was for their sake that my blood was spilled. Let them not fear to approach me. They are most in need of my mercy. So Jesus come down because of the sinners, because of us. So don't lose heart. One more paragraph. September 16, 1937. I wanted very much to make a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament today, but God's will was otherwise. At 8 o'clock, I was seized with such violent pains that I had to go to bed at once. I was convulsed with pain for 3 hours, that is, until 11 o'clock at night. No medicine had any effect on me, and whatever I swallowed, I threw up. At times, the pain caused me to lose consciousness. Jesus had me realize that in this way, I took part in His agony in the garden, and that He Himself allowed these sufferings in order to offer reparation to God for the souls murdered in the wounds of wicked mothers. Abortion. She offered all this pain for the mothers who had abortion. This is a serious sin against God. I've gone through these sufferings 3 times now. Just a baby in the womb, and they are using all the instruments to take the wounds out, you know, cut in pieces, you know. There's like a machine to put them into the wound and take out all the blood and mud, everything put together, suck in, and you know, this is abortion. I've gone through herself like the little baby in the womb. She was also crushed. I've gone through these sufferings 3 times now. They always start at 8 o'clock in the evening and last until 11. No medicine can lessen these sufferings. When 11 o'clock comes, they cease by themselves, and I fall asleep at that moment. The following day, I felt very weak. This happened to me for the first time when I was at the sanatorium. The doctors couldn't get to the bottom of it, and no injection or medicine helped me at all, nor did I myself have any idea of what the sufferings were about. I told the doctor that never before in my life had I experienced such sufferings, and he declared he did not know what sort of pains they are. It's abortion experience of the baby. She experienced all. But now I understand the nature of these pains because the Lord Himself has made this known to me. Yet when I think that I may perhaps suffer in this way again, I tremble. It's a terrible experience. But I don't know whether I will ever again suffer in this way. I leave that to God. What it pleases God to send, I will accept with submission and love. If only I could save even one soul from the murder by means of this suffering. On the day after these sufferings, I can sense the condition of souls and the disposition towards God. I'm pervaded with true knowledge. So it hurts abortion action against God very seriously. I receive Holy Communion in the manner of the angels, so to speak. My soul is filled with God's light and nourishes itself from Him. My feelings are as if dead. This is a purely spiritual union with God. It is a great predominance of spirit over nature. So you can see God, Jesus gave her the experience of all the suffering and also gave her the consolation, the presence of Him in His heart, in her heart. So let us live better, in a better way, always say yes to God, God's will, but also at times you need to suffer for the sake of humanity.